Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of the Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, and Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Patrick Medlock. We kindly ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. But before we bring him on, I'd like to open the line to prayer requests. If you have a request, please press the number one on your phone at this time. And when the last four digits of your number are called, state the name and need of the individuals for whom you are requesting prayer. It is my request today, as in every day, that you all please continue praying for each other. Pray for every single family represented on this call, that God bless us all in ways that we stand in need of. We also ask for prayer on behalf of our ministers, that they and their families, too, will also be blessed. While praying for all motorists, that we respect each other's space and allow everyone to make it to their destination safely. Today, I ask a special prayer on behalf of my cousin Justine, who buried her husband in October and just on Mother's Day Eve, lost her son. So I'm asking you to please keep the Young family in your prayers and all the families affected by the loss of my cousin, Cornelius Tyler. Thank you. Caller 6246, state your request.
Great morning. This is Brother McFall. Just coming in prayers for one of our sisters, Sister Anitra. Just praying that God helps her with her health or whatever that case may be, and that everything comes out for the best for her, and that God continues to watch over her and her family. Also, coming to prayers for myself, as well as for health-wise, that God continues to lead me to do what is needed and required, and that I truly get the true assistance of those individuals that I need to be able to guide me and lead me doing that direction, and just continue to pray for my family. Thank you.
Thank you. Caller 1340, state your request.
Good morning. I'm Mrs. Carol Walker. I'm asking for prayers for my niece, Danielle Richards. She has, I believe, fibromyalgia, but she's in pain all of the time. So pray for her. She's a young woman in her 30s, so just keep her in your prayers for relief.
Thank you. The next voice you will hear will be that of Brother Patrick Medlock. Immediately following words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Medlock, you are on the air.
Thank you, Danielle, and I bring you greetings from the Gateway Church of Christ, where we are saints in covenant with God, and we are neighbors in love with you. Thank you, Danielle, for what you do every day as you host this program at 7 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. Thank you, Brother Bradshaw, for sharing this ministry with myself and with others. And we're thankful for each of you that are on the Blog Talk Radio part of this devotional today, as well as those who are also on the Facebook simulcast that I've been doing for the last several years. Again, everybody, this is Gratitude Tuesday for me that I do every single Tuesday morning. This episode is episode number 58, and I'm calling this one Getting Out of God's Way. Getting Out of God's Way. I'm drawing that devotional title from the text in Genesis chapter 50, starting at verse number 15. I'll read the first four verses of this particular section of the passage, where the Bible says, when Joseph's brothers saw, New American Standard, that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrongs which we did to him? So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father charged before he died, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgression of your servants of the Father, of the God of your Father. And Joseph wept when he spoke to them. Then his brothers also came and fell before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? I deliver this message to you, ladies and gentlemen, and brothers and sisters, because I think it's important for us to understand, you know, the context of what was happening here. We had a deal where 17 years had passed since Joseph had started interacting once again with his brothers. After having his pit experience, which was pitiful, having his prison experience, which was a downer, and then all of a sudden being elevated through the grace and favor of God to second in command of all of Egypt and in a position to truly exact revenge on brothers who had done him wrong. And yet, we had already seen that he had shown a level of forgiveness to these brothers. He had already orchestrated, even though he played some games with them early, with their, at this point, passage from the land of Canaan to Goshen, which Pharaoh orchestrated, hey, put your brothers and put your family in the very best land of Egypt. And so they are already in Goshen. They're already settled. And now as Jacob has died, they're still worried because these brothers, including Judah, had acted very evil, in a very evil way, had been lying incessantly to Joseph, not just and lying to their father. And so they decided to tell one last lie here in Genesis 50 by saying, this is what your father said. There's a lot more that I can say, which time won't allow. But Joseph ends it by saying, don't be afraid, for am I in God's place? Because he knew that even though his brothers were the perpetrators, God was still the person who was providing the level of providence and providing the path that would allow indeed Joseph's destiny to be fulfilled, as his dreams had predicted that he would indeed be a figure that both his father and his brothers would bow down to. So we need to remember that we're not in God's place either. Remember that when we're dealing with friends and family and coworkers and church members who are not acting right, because I know I'm not the only one who has to deal with people who aren't acting right. Remember, we're not in God's place when we are doubting and blaming ourselves for the way things have turned out, because in some cases, it turned out exactly the way that God has wanted them to turn out. We need to remember that we are not in God's place and that we're not anyone's judge. We're not anyone's jury. We're not even anyone's executioner. In some cases, we might not even legitimately need to have an opinion about what's going on in someone else's life, because we are not, ladies and gentlemen and brothers and sisters, in God's place. So there's no need for guilt. There's no need for bitterness. There's no need for vengeance. We need to replace that, get out of our own head and replace those things that when we're getting in God's way, we're taking ownership guilt-wise of things that God has already settled and that God is orchestrating. We're being bitter with something that God has already either fixed or is about to fix. We are looking to take vengeance on something where we forget the scripture that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. We need to replace it with peace, with kindness, and dare I say, for those that are the redeemed, with praise. How about this? When verse 20 comes along, he says, as for you, you meant evil against me, Joseph says, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Be reminded, ladies and gentlemen, of Psalm number 34, that the eyes of the Lord are over toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those, ladies and gentlemen and brothers and sisters, that do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord has delivered them all out of their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted, and save those who are crushed in spirit. Get out of our own heads. go ahead and commune with God's Spirit and show the level of wherewithal to comfort and support others, because we know we are not in God's place. Let us pray. From heaven, you've heard the various prayer requests regarding Danielle and her requests for the various individuals, the commuters, the individuals who are on the road along with her husband, for the ministers, and for, I believe the name was Justine, who last year lost her husband and last week lost her son. Father, you've heard Brother McFall's request regarding, I think it was Anitra, and regarding his own health. And you heard Carolyn Walker, and I think the name was Richards, and the health situation that that young lady may have encountered. We ask that you just continue to be with those requests and any others. We have on our top of tip of our tongue Jan Simpson here in Michigan, Tom Nichols, and various others who are still recovering or still struggling with various issues, either with themselves or with their husbands, with their wives, with their children, with their grandchildren, in some cases with their great-grandchildren. Van is coming to mind, the grandson of John Martin, and various others. Father, you know the circumstances better than we do. You know what's happening. You know what the doctors need to do. And you have the power to be able to allow your healing power to pervade through these individuals. You have it so that even the bereaved can be comforted. Because as this devotional has mentioned, we know that we are not in your place. So that's why we find a place of peace. And we find a motivation to praise, because we know that you are the sovereign and the just one. There is no one else good. There is no one else great other than you. Continue to be with us. Continue to be patient with us as we continue to fumble through this life and continue to try to live a life that you would have us to live. And as we continue to fail miserably at it, continue to grant us the grace and the mercy and to be long-suffering, as your word says, that is your nature. Father, we loved you because you first loved us. Continue to be with us all and keep us, so that whether we are already in the seat of our cars, whether we've already made it to the corner of our cubicles or our offices, or whether we're still in our slippers, that we are primed and poised to make this day the day in which you receive the glory and the honor. Because this day as a gift is a clean canvas that would allow us to be able to fill your heart with the praise and the glory and the credit that you are deserving of. It is today, not just on Sunday, that we worship you with our acts of service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.